69 215 110. I'm going down highway 110 in my big old pickup truck. I'm going down highway 110 in my big old pickup truck. I'm going down highway 110 listening to a podcast in my big old pickup truck.
Hey, it's Steeper, and welcome to another episode of the 110 Podcast, a podcast where I usually talk about one song in 10 minutes. This week, I have an in-studio guest, technically. I dropped the ball, you guys. I recorded my own song in a studio, had someone put some guitar on it, some more guitar on it, and Rod is interviewing me today.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Put the yay.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike the LPP, I actually have sound effects.
So. Oh, fancy. Yeah, I'm not used to sound effects. This is so different here. This is not like the LPP studios at all. This is weird.
Well, this is different for me too, because this is not where I record the podcast.
No, that's not true. You record the interview episodes here.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, this is producer Rod.
I'm just going to press that the whole time.
We also have a boo button. You can boo me whenever you want.
I will. Thank you for having me on your podcast to interview you.
I guess I've always wanted you on the podcast, but you're like, no.
Well, there's, I'm not like, a musician, so why would I be on the podcast?
There's one episode where you're laughing in the background. I mispronounce a word and you're like, ah, in the background.
I could see that happening for sure. All right, so I guess I'll take over now?
Yeah,
go ahead. All right, I'm the host now, everybody. Don't change that dial. Let's get it on. You recorded a brand new song.
Yes.
Where did that song come from? And, well, no, first of all, like, in the past, you've always recorded your songs here at the Listening Party Studios, at the LPP Studios, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And so this is the first time that you did it outside of the studios. Like, we've obviously experienced a music studio in the past at Black and Gold with no application fee and roam apart.
Yes.
So, but this time you were the one actually recording the songs, or the song, one song.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess I was just curious, how did that even come about? Yeah.
Well, number one, this is an old song. This is a really old song. Number two, I rely way too much on you. And I've said this before, or I mean, at least to you, where I record, but you edit and you put all the internet stuff up on the internet, you know, like, and I appreciate you so much. And if you die, the podcasts die with you, because I don't know how to do any of that shit. I wanted to take that off you, I guess, like take that burden off you. And again, I mentioned we majorly dropped the ball. So when the opportunity came up that I could just record in studio and jam with Chris Kills, I just jumped at it. Like, the studio is, the quote studio is 5 minutes away. And we're not going to give any names because it's like weird. He's picky about who he has over, I guess. But anyways, for legal reasons, I don't know. I definitely enjoyed the studio experience when we went to Black and Gold, and I wanted that again for myself. You definitely, you get your act together real fast once you start fucking up and you're like, I don't want to waste this man's time, you know what I mean? And it's like,
so it's okay to waste my time?
No, I hate that too, but at least I could just leave everything up and be like, I'm tired, I'm going to bed, I'll try again tomorrow. But that's, it's not like that when you're in a studio. So yeah, does that answer the question?
That answers the question, yes. So then you just asked him, like, hey, can I record in your studio? Or did he offer? Or how did that part of it come about?
He had offered before. And when we didn't have an episode, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, let me reach out. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, yeah, I got to get on the ball with this. Mm. So also, it's 5 minutes away. So
got it. All right. And then you also said, so I went to the quote unquote studio. So, like, why do you say quote-unquote studio? Is it a studio or not?
Well, I think if you look up the spot, it doesn't show up as like a studio.
Oh, okay. You mean like on Google Maps or something?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, the LPP doesn't show up as a studio and we're still a studio.
Are we?
Yeah. Hello. Okay. Look at this place. So now more about the song specifically, I guess. What you mentioned, it's an older song.
Yeah.
Like how old would you say? Like what year?
I didn't look it up.
Before or after the pandy?
No, it was after the pandy. I would say it's like maybe 2 years old.
Oh, that's not that old.
Yeah.
Also, I love how you didn't prepare for your own interview.
I know.
So that's great. Thank you for wasting my time.
Thanks. Thanks for just sending me those questions like 15 minutes ago.
I mean, these were all like your own. This is, anyways, whatever.
I don't date my stuff.
All right. So what was the seed that this song sprouted from, if you will?
I really wanted to write a dark song. I didn't want to write a funny song. A lot of the lines were kind of personal, minus the whole, like, this lady was obviously had, like, some type of secret. That was probably from some chisme show I was watching at the time. It really stemmed from Stephanie, my best friend. I don't know. She really turned to, like, religion and God. I was afraid that that was going to ruin, like, our relationship. That kind of comes out in the first verse. Because my bestie knows everything. You know what I mean? I wanted to write about, like, anxiety. Did you get the sense of anxiety in the song? Did that come through?
No, not really anxiety. Oh. No. Not to me. But, I mean, obviously, different people experience things differently. So maybe somebody that has anxiety or whatever would get that feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
To me, like, the finished version, the version that you worked on with Chris Kills and all that, it has more of like an ominous tone to it. Should we play it for everyone so everyone can hear it and know what we're talking about?
Yeah. So this is Secret by Defer, accompanied by Chris Kills.
I guess I'm taking it with me all the way to hell. I asked to share it with a friend, but she said that she found God and it would be a sin. I understand, so I hold it in. Wait till I'm alone at night, oh, what could have been? I've got a secret that I can't tell, so I guess I'm taking it with me all the way to hell, all the way to hell. And I'll never tell. Met at a dive bar and I like the way he dressed. The one thing I regret is that I left. I like the way he felt when he touched my hand, but I never thought I would see him again. The kind of man you dream about, tell your best friend what never happened. 'Cause I've got a secret that I can't tell, so I guess I'm taking it with me all the way to hell, all the way to hell. I'll never tell. All the way to hell. I'll never tell. The way he smelled and the way he tastes, the way his whiskers felt on my face. Hands running up my thigh, if you think that we did more, you are wrong. He moved too fast and I thought too much, and for my sanity I asked him to stop. 'Cause I've got a secret. it that I can't tell. So I guess I'm taking it with me all the way to hell, all the way to hell. And I'll never tell, all the way to hell. And I'll never tell.
So that was my song.
Good times, good times. I need to get some special effects on the listening party.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, no, that was good. I really loved Chris Kill's little jangly guitar there. I really enjoyed the reverb that he added to the song. When I edit the songs for the 110 podcast, the ones that, you know, so every 10 episodes ever since the 100th episode, Denise has someone come over to the studio and then we record a little stripped down intimate version of one of their songs, and then, you know, I have to put it together somehow with my super limited skills
and hearing.
yeah, and only one good ear, and I'm always like, okay, here, come listen to this version of it, and then she's like, nah, I don't like the echoey, I don't like the this, I don't like the that,
I hate the reverb, I always tell you to take it off.
Yeah, so then in the end it just sounds like, okay, well, I wasted 3 hours of my life for it to just sound the way that it did in the very beginning.
I like it raw. I like it live. I like it the way it is, simple.
So then how come you put all this reverb and stuff in this one?
I didn't do it. He did it.
Oh, so you didn't
get... To be fair, this is the only thing he sent. I don't have my vocals separate. I don't have my... And I actually recorded separate vocals and separate guitar. It's a first... in my musical career or whatever, if I could call it that. Yeah, like I said, hey, I'm gonna do this. I'm just gonna let him do whatever, mix it however he's gonna mix it. You know what I mean? And just, that's what it's gonna be. Like, I trust his ear. You know, I like his style, his music or whatever. So whatever he gives me, we're just gonna go with that. I wanted it to be different. You know what I mean? So yeah, this is the first time we have electric guitar.
Oh yeah,
on a strip down.
There's been a lot of that is true. Breaking your own rules here.
Yeah,
this is illegal. You can't do that. I thought you were gonna say this is the first time you have electric guitar in a Defer song.
That's true. That's true too.
Yeah. So a lot of firsts for the Defer musical landscape. In the extra EP, you had some horn.
Yeah.
And then now you have electric guitar.
I would like those tracks, Chris, if you're listening, because I want it just me on the guitar and harmonica as a different version. That's the version that I hear in my head. Really. Mm. This is cool too. Like when he started playing, I was like, yes, this is what I want, but I also want harmonica. Mm. That's the goal.
You wouldn't just add the harmonica to this?
I'd have to hear it. Ah.
Is there a lyric in this song that you're most proud of? And can you share the story behind it?
No, but I like the whole last verse because, you know, my songs always have like a twist. Well, I try to have a twist.
You're the M. Night Shyamalan of of independent music.
Shut up. No. It's very vague, this whole story. Like, you don't know why she meets up with him again. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what the situation is. You know, like something like... something shady is going down, you know what I mean? But at least, like, obviously that's like, you don't think what they thought they did, you pervs, you know what I mean? Like, you cochinos, get your mind out of the gutter. Like, yeah, I don't know, I like the whole last like, hey, you were wrong, because that's me.
I think we kind of touched on this already, but maybe not in great detail, but as I mentioned before, up until now, you've only recorded your songs here in our little rinky-dink home studio. But how would you compare that to recording with, you know, someone else, someone that, you know, obviously it's not me, it's Chris Kills. He has obviously experience recording at least his own music for sure, possibly other people as well. And just, yeah, not being in your regular environment you're used to.
It definitely lights a fire under your ass to, like, get it done right and get it done right in as little takes as possible. Is that right?
So how many takes did it take? Hey, well, how many takes did
it take? I think this was my fourth one. It might have been fifth.
Oh,
but I stopped like right away. And then he was just like, it sounds fine. Like, just keep going.
What do you mean you stopped right away?
Like, because, you know, he told me to stop. He's like, don't keep going if you mess up.
Oh, right. Well, yeah.
Obviously.
Because mm-hmm.
I've done that with you where I just keep going. I did the vocals twice, though.
Did you plug in with the guitar or did he mic it up?
No, he mic'd it up.
Ah, okay. Okay. Okay.
Because I don't know. I like that better.
Mm. Also, he asked which one you preferred.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, everyone always assumes that my guitar doesn't plug in, but it does.
Shout out to Eric Hall for the modification.
Yes.
Yeah. How did he mic it? I'm curious. Did he use two mics or just one mic?
No, he just used one mic.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Any last comments, questions, concerns you want to say about the song or the recording process? Because after this, I'm moving on to some other questions.
No, I like this experience. This was different for me, and I appreciate Chris's time and the offer to go record or whatever. I definitely like to do it again, maybe at a different studio where I get all the tracks in a timely manner.
Jesus, freaking beggars can't be choosers over
hey,
here, bro.
I did pay. I did. It was not a lot. It was not a lot at all.
Yeah.
Like,
well, then you know the old saying, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. It was different, and I'm glad. I'm satisfied with, like, the product, but it's all him. It's all his guitar. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That's what makes the song. It is not me at all. Yeah. And my two chords. It's only two chords.
All right. And so now I wanted to move on to some podcast-related questions. You know, since this is your 170th episode, you're getting pretty close to 200 there.
Yep.
Was there a moment along the way in this 110 podcast journey that you thought to yourself, I might actually be good at this?
Nope, not at all. I still think I suck.
All right. This many episodes in, is there any part of the process that is still fun for you? Was it ever fun? I guess maybe that might be a better question.
It's always going to be like a little bit stressful, just like the deadlines and hoping that you get a clip. I love the collaboration. I love when I get a clip. Yeah, it just doesn't always happen. And this doesn't even always like happen. Like, I'm doing it for the bands that genuinely like say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that just said like, hey, like, I really needed to hear this, you know, like, not that they were going to stop music, but they were just like, hey, like, yeah, like I was feeling pretty low. And like, this just really boosted my spirits or whatever, like in making my music or whatever. Like, I'm generalizing like the handful of people that have actually like said that, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So yeah, I'm still doing it for them. Yeah. To keep on going. Like, your fan in Montebello is cheering for you. Yeah.
What about when you get care packages from people? Because I know you love mail in general.
Yes, I do. I'm like a mail nerd, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you have no... Like, I already know what stamps I want for 2026. Yeah, that's how big of a nerd I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Obviously, then, when people send you something, however big or small, I'm assuming that's also like a nice perk.
Oh, yeah. I geek out and I save that shit and I frame some of it. Like, we've had some stuff signed. Like, the stickers go on my guitar case, which doesn't leave the house, but there's some framed letters, like, from the Smashed Avocados. Like, they sent a picture and stuff with, like, a handwritten note. And then if that doesn't go up in the garage, it's in my notebook of, like, highlights and stuff of, like, my journal, my trash journal notebook, whatever it is that all my shit goes in. I love mail. And I really, really appreciate, like, the handwritten notes and stuff.
Who would your, you know, for these, you know, divisible by 10 episodes, who would your dream guest be? You could pick, make two selections. So one could be like your, you know, it's never going to happen. Like, I'm just talking out of my ass, dream guest. And then like a realistic one that maybe you've been thinking about asking, but for whatever reason, just haven't gotten around to it.
I feel like these are both dream guests or whatever, but one is maybe more attainable. Dream guest, like where it's never gonna happen, is Carsey Blanton.
Oh,
in
yeah.
studio.
Oh, that'd be dope.
I love Carsey so much, and we go see her like every time she comes to play, like in LA. Like everything that she went through, like on the flotilla, was just like insane. I was like, that was scary for me. You know what I mean? And then like, I was like, dude, I'm not even going through this. So just like checking in on like her stories and stuff was like crazy. And you should definitely follow Carsey. And then, I mean, we've talked about this. We've kind of mapped it out, minus like asking the band, but we also need a dog sitter. I would love to record with Sewer Bitch, who is in Arizona. So if I could take Rod like to see the Grand Canyon and while I was over there, like make it a weekend trip or something, take all the equipment and like record with them at the hotel, you know, hit the Grand Canyon and come home. That would be awesome. I think we'd have to record first and then go to the Grand Canyon and then come home.
Wait, why? Huh? Like, what is it? What difference does it
just
make?
Like the way where they are.
Oh, and, I see. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they could go to the Grand Canyon too.
That's true. Well, I'm not trying to put them like out of their way or whatever. Like,
right. No,
I don't want them to go out of their way.
Right.
Like, I would want to come to them and yeah.
And then maybe Sean Bonnet could also come.
Oh, gosh.
Shout out AJJ. All the real ones know what's up. So I think you might have inadvertently answered my next question.
Oh, because yeah.
In the past, you have mentioned that would be like a cool like 200th episode kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my next question. It was, since you're getting pretty close to 200, do you have any early thoughts or plans for that episode?
I mean, that would be ideal, but that would involve us traveling. So if anyone's willing to travel to us, to my little house in Montebello, any of the bands that I featured, like out of state or something, like you're welcome to like come record here. I'll buy you a beer at Angry Horse down the street. You could play the brewery down the street as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I could book it, like if you give me enough time.
I mean, who would say no to that? Let's go.
They've never had Angry Horse beer.
A recent development in your artistic journey, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
You've started playing at comedy nights.
Yes.
How did that come about?
I basically just asked Carlos, the host of Horseplay Comedy at the Angry Horse, if I could play like a couple of my funny songs. Like, to be fair, I said, like, if someone drops out, like, as a last resort and you needed, like, filler time, like, I would totally do it. And then he hit me up and I started playing. Apparently, horse plays don't count as real shows. So I recently played my fourth comedy show, what I consider my fourth comedy show, right? Mm-hmm. So this was at the Love Song Bar, which is the bar in the Regent, right? The Regent Theater in L.A., Nikki Fuchs asked me to play, and it was all the same freaking comedians, Carlos, Paul Antonio, and Frank, like from Horseplay Comedy. And like when we got there and we saw Carlos said, "Your first real comedy show." And I was like, "What the fuck? Like, so what have I been doing at Horseplay?" You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, anyways, I guess that was my first real comedy gig.
Why was, like, did he explain why?
No, I just didn't say anything because I felt bad. I was like, I don't know. It was just, like, awkward. I was like, I got in my head. Dude, that plus, like, the lighting, like, really got in my head at the Regent. I got so nervous. That was a rough show. Yeah, for me, personally. Mm. It was really rough. But I guess that's comedy or whatever. I don't know.
You're a road comic now?
Yeah.
You're like, you're a grizzled vet. You're like, that's comedy, bro.
Yeah. I don't know. I always felt that I was always the oddball out at open mics. So I just always wanted to try a comedy night. Not an open mic, though. Thank God I didn't do any of those. But yeah. And Carlos just got me into like a straight up show. But I am really grateful for that. Yeah, because it's different.
I always appreciate it when you go up there because it kind of breaks the monotony of what most people do at these open mics, which is very touchy-feely.
Sad, depressing.
Yeah. Or not the best covers.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started.
So, yeah. So, to me, I always kind of like appreciate. And I feel like people, even other people who are there also appreciate it because they're like, oh, wow, yeah, this is different. Like, and how would you compare performing for a comedy crowd versus a more music-focused crowd?
I don't, like, it depends. Like, so I started off at open mics, and, like, those are rough. There's just so much going on in the background. There's people in their conversations. There's people drinking or getting coffee, whatever, depends where you're at. Then I started doing the writer's rounds, and that was a little bit more focused, like, if you wanted to listen to the music, like you were there for the music, but there was also like eating and stuff in the background. You know what I mean? There was beer in the background. There was drinks in the background and food. And comedy nights, like not an open mic, like a comedy like lineup show is like they are there to see you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and they are there to laugh. I mean, obviously that was us like going, you know what I mean? Like, we're in the audience all the time. Like, it's like, make me laugh, bitch. You know what I mean? I don't know. So that's a bit nerve-wracking. Like, at an open mic, if you get laughs, it's great. Like, you know, they're not particularly there for that, you know? But, like, if you don't hear laughs at a comedy show, you're fucked. You know what I mean? Well, I think that you're fucked. I haven't done that many, but I have been lucky. I've gotten a few laughs, so... I don't know. It's just different.
What do you think is worse? Doing music at a comedy night or doing comedy at a music open mic?
Oh, it's a place to work it out. Like if you're a comedian at an open mic, but it's rough. Like there's only one dude that I've laughed at and it's because he had wrestling jokes like at an open mic.
Yeah.
The rest are just like cringe. Yeah. I don't know how it is. Like, I'm the only one at a comedy mic. I'm like playing a guitar. I've never seen anyone else. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously.
Obviously, but I haven't seen them.
Right. But you haven't personally experienced that.
Yeah.
Right.
Personal jinx.
You owe me a Coke.
Oh, God.
Do you have any upcoming shows people can go check out or... are you gonna put this song up anywhere? Yeah, what's the plan for that? Are you finally gonna boycott Spotify? Miss, I boycott everything. Oh, do I have to cut that out?
Best song like I have in my catalog, and I don't put it on Spotify where it could get the most listens. I'm definitely saving it for my next EP, Laundromat Confessions. Right? That's what we said it was going to be, right?
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, we got to put out a Christmas EP next year, too. Now that we have a song with Carlos. So, yeah, that's just going to be on the next EP. Maybe I'll for sure put it on Bandcamp or whatever. No one's going to buy that shit. And I do have a show coming up tomorrow. So, if you're listening to this on time and you're in the LA area, specifically Glendale, I'm playing junior high. I'm probably doing like two songs. I'm doing two songs. I think it'll be about 8 minutes with Nikki Fuchs, Carlos Escobar, and some other comics that I don't know. But it's a comedy show. Probably my last comedy show, my fifth and final one. And I'm retiring from comedy because that shit's scary. We'll see how that one goes. But yeah, tickets are $10 if you want to donate or if you're not from here, but you want to donate to Montebello's comedians. Yeah, go for it. That's junior high, December 6th at 8:00.
And you also just played the horseplay comedy night last night.
Yes.
And it was amazing. when Carlos did that thing for the Santa Claus song where he was like, Santa's got a dick and he pulled his dick out. That was crazy. I was like, dang, dude. I think they shut down the comedy night. Like, no more comedy night at the Angry Horse. All right. Well, this was lovely. I enjoyed the song. I think Chris killed it. Hey! Goddamn. Yeah. So, and again, thank you for letting me interview you. It was a privilege and an honor of my life.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for doing this, babe. Thanks for being on camera, even though you're probably not going to show yourself.
I'm not doing anything with the video. Like,
oh,
this is
going on YouTube. It's going to be the first ever D for YouTube video.
Oh my god. All right. Yeah. Oh, anyways, it's your show. I'll let you end it however you end it. Oh,
no episode next week. We will be back December 19th with a new episode. Well, I will be back December 19th. Thanks for listening. I hope you listen next time to check out a small artist or band. Say hi to your dog for me. Bye.